But there's one person that I cannot have a service without, and that's Jesus. So let's invite the presence of the Lord into the house. Mighty God, we worship you and praise you tonight, dear God. We give you glory, dear God. We want you to envelop this entire house, dear God, from end to end, from top to bottom. Cover us with your presence, dear God. Let the flood of the Holy Ghost wash over us, dear Jesus, as a living river, dear God, washing over our souls, dear God, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Hallelujah, 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 dear God. Let the presence of God cover us in a mighty way, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm fixing to sing Psalms 139 and 14. I will praise him, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Hallelujah. We were created to praise and worship God. We were created to give him glory and honor. Hallelujah. So how about you do what you were created for and try to praise God with all of your heart? I know that all of you out there have a five-stringed instrument. You know, it's just right here. You just put them together and it makes a nice little noise. You can clap unto God, lift your hands and praise and worship. Hallelujah. Maybe give a little bit of jig from one foot to the other. Hallelujah. Give a shout unto God every once in a while, because he deserves all the praise and glory. Worship with us as we sing.
What page? 341 in the red book.
come. Can you lift your hands and tell him how bad you want to be with him? Mighty God, I can't wait until the day of Jesus. Hallelujah, that I'll meet you in the sky. Hallelujah, to be forever with you, Jesus. Hallelujah, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of this pain. I'm tired of this tribulation. Mighty God, I want my whole world to be open. I want to be with you, Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I love something in the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We're about to sing another one. Hallelujah. And how about we do exactly what it says?
Thank you.
second. I want us all at the same time to shout hallelujah at the top of our lungs. I'm going to tell you why. Hallelujah. Because there's something about it. Hallelujah. Why was the devil so scared about Jesus being born? Because when the angels started screaming hallelujah, and they jumped on the shepherds, and they began to sing hallelujah, the devil knew that there was nothing he could do to stop revival. There's nothing he could stop. Hallelujah. So I want us to shout on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Hallelujah. Standing, it makes it easier to get to your wallets. Hallelujah. We're going to give it to the Lord. Amen. There's something about giving. Hallelujah. We talk a lot about worship. We talk a lot about praise. Hallelujah. But what you don't understand, part of your worship and part of your praise is in your tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. It's important. Hallelujah. We have tithe envelopes in the back. If you do not have a tithe envelope, you can get one. Hallelujah. Amen. If it's your offering, you just come by and put it in the offering box. Hallelujah. But there's something about it. When you put money in the offering, hallelujah, whether it be your tithes or whether it be your offering, it is telling God just how much you love him. Because a lot of people are willing to give their time to things. A lot of people are willing to go and just show up. But there's very few people that are willing to give money to something they don't believe in. And I believe in the church. Hallelujah. So here we go. We're going to give unto the Lord. In the house. Amen. You know what? I was just thinking of something. There's a lot of people that will go to gyms and they will pay a lot of money in order to go there. And we've been to the gym. I know it's expensive. But I urge you, if you were to come to the house of God and get excited, you wouldn't need a gym. And if you put the money you put in the gym in the house of God, trust me, you'd be a whole lot more blessed. Hallelujah. Shut up. Amen. You come into the house of God, you get excited. Let me tell you something. When you go to the gym and you drink all those protein drinks and you drink all this stuff trying to lose weight and all of these things, let me tell you something. God's got something that's a whole lot better than any protein drink. And you get out here and you begin to shout and worship God. Let me tell you something. God says, okay, I'll bless that. You want to be skinnier? He'll I'll just shave it off and you won't even know it.
Hallelujah.
I'm being serious. God does that. I'm a living witness. Hallelujah. I shouldn't be the size I am of all the honey buns I used to eat. Praise the Lord. Well, God is so good. That was just that was free. That was I guess you could call it an infomercial. Hallelujah. Give a little information about something you can do for God. Okay. All right. We're fixing to do, we're about to do announcements. I'll let Pastor take care of that because I'm not sure of all the announcements we have set up. I know they were trying to figure out something earlier. But let's go ahead and do prayer quest while he's getting that together. Anybody? Sister Sarah?
I have a whole list. No, I'm just kidding. My husband's sick. He needs prayer. I need prayer. I need a healing touch in my body. And a special unspoken.
Okay.
Let's remember Sister Michelle wants you to get back to the house of God. And God, remove all the obstacles and the pain and all the stuff that she's dealing with. And Diane, I don't know why she's not here, but they changed her surgery until Tuesday because emergency came up. She's disappointed, actually, because she wanted her to get that taken care of. But anyway, she needs extra prayer as well.
Amen.
Well, Sister Rebecca, wherever she's at, and that the Lord just keep her guidance in whatever situation she's in. And pray for Dr. Pappas and for revival at South Rock Creek, and that the Lord sends me my wife.
Amen.
Keep my family in prayer, especially my cousin and husband. God knows still haven't seen you in a little while. And then Jason, you know, and you know, all these things.
Okay. That's right.
That Kristen, over there, she's the one that was pregnant, had the little girl that God helped them. She'd have to have a heart surgery. She's over there right now. She's way too early having cramps and stuff. So let's pray for them right now, too, because, I mean, that's dangerous. I mean,
okay, we'll get the rest of the requests just one. Let's go ahead and pray for the situation.
Yeah, can I
think
too?
I have one in my Bible. No, I'm sure I do. Somewhere.
Let's just join together. Dear God, Lord, you see the situation tonight, oh God. Lord, we know you are here, an almighty God that loves and cares for hearts and souls and lives and individuals. God, reach down, Lord, and touch this baby and this mother, oh God. You are there with them, oh God, during this time, oh Lord. Lord, we rebuke all the hindering causes. We rebuke all the spirits of fear and doubt. Oh, Jesus, Lord, we call upon your name, dear Jesus. Lord, we anoint this prayer cloth in the name of Jesus, oh God. In Jesus' name, for your glory and your majesty, God.
In the name of Jesus.
All right. Anybody else have any other requests? Sister McKellar? One unspoken. Anybody else? Brother Renzo? Anybody else? Sherry. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Also, we have events that we're doing, things that we're doing, our Bible studies, but remember the saints in the church, you know, the men as the heads of their household and the women backing up and getting behind their husbands and helping them and being able to do these things. Just pray that God would keep them together, protect them, and edify them and strengthen them. And give us anointing that we would be able to do what God wants us to do in great ways. Okay. Yes, sir.
Let's also pray for our missionaries tonight. The Lord blessed us this month, and we was able to send $50 to the missionary, Brother Oral Avalar Jr. in Brazil. And we know that there's a mighty work being done down there. Lots of opposition, but God is wanting to use us to spread the gospel out there. Let's pray for the Nix family in Peru. They're doing a mighty work of God. The Switzheiser family are in Europe tonight. Missionaries, people that love God, and we want God to be with our missionaries.
Pray for Tim Joyner as well. His car, he's in, was it Belize? His car broke. One of his shocks on his car literally snapped, and there's no replacement parts there. And you know how hard it is to get a car over there and able to drive. He's driving the church van right now and having a lot of problems with the situation altogether. So pray for Brother Tim Joyner, and pray that God would do a miracle on his car, that God would the part would be somewhere, that it would be shipped to them somehow or so way, that God would put it together. So pray for Tim Joyner. He's having a real rough time, but claiming revival. All right, one more time. Anybody else? Yes.
Pray for my sister, Stephanie, because she was sick, and she doesn't feel so good.
Okay.
She needs a lot of prayer.
Okay, we'll definitely pray for her. Anybody else? All right, let's pray over these requests. Mighty God, you are awesome and powerful, dear God. We go before you in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, that you would do a miraculous and mighty miracle, dear God, in the situations. Hallelujah, that you would do, mighty God, healings in the situations, dear God. Touch Diane and heal her, dear God. Mighty God, each and every person, each and every situation and circumstance that they have brought before you, dear God, we say in faith in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, that they will be resolved. Hallelujah, that you would do works on the behalf of your people. Hallelujah, that we will bring together, dear God, a great removing of revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that you would anoint each and every one of us, all the saints of God, all over the world, dear Jesus. Hallelujah, that you would bring forth a great anointing upon their heart to do the will of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor's going to come up here and do announcements and then begin to preach. So I have one scripture real quick and let him, 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the word by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God, but by the foolishness of preaching, saved them that believe. Amen. So you are saved by the foolishness of preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. So in order for you to understand, you're going to have to humble yourself to understand what God would have to say unto you. Let God the Spirit speak unto you, and God bless you, Pastor.
Amen. You may be seated tonight. We will be back here to this location Sunday night, 5:30. Sunday night service, and then next week, next Tuesday, and next Thursday, we'll be back here to this location. So, taking it a week at a time. Amen. What God is doing for us, we are thankful for God's mercy and His goodness. Hallelujah. God's working tonight. Amen. I feel it. I feel God is God's just so much bigger than we are. Hallelujah. He is doing something tonight. And His word is so quick and powerful. We are in Luke chapter number 13. Let's turn to Luke chapter 13. We're going to read verse 1 through verse 17 together tonight. Responsive reading, I'll read verse number 1, you read verse number 2, etc., etc. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Verse 3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
For those 18 who in the tower of Solomon fell and slew men, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem?
Amen. Verse number 5, amen. Let's just slow down and savor this tonight. There's something about it. When you get a T-bone steak, you don't eat it all in one bite. You kind of cut it up in little bitty pieces and savor it. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, one of these days, brother. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 6, he spake also this parable. Now I'm in verse 5 where I'm at. Yeah. Verse 5. Man, I got to think about T-bone. I was in trouble there. Verse 5. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Verse number 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground?
And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about and gather it.
Verse number 9, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years,
and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself.
And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity.
Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God.
Amen.
And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day.
Verse number 15, the Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doeth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering?
And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low his 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?
Verse 17, and when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him.
Then he said,
Hang on, you're done. It's good stuff. He said, I want my neighbor's T-bone now. We see in the beginning of the chapter here that the people brought to him and told him of the Galileans that were killed by Pilate. It's a sad, sad situation of brute force and brutality. And in America tonight, we face some of this same crisis. I see a scale that there are abuses on both ends of the scale, unfortunately. And we do not want to be in a place where that we suddenly allow wrong to prevail just because we are afraid of the wrong on the other end. My dad looked at me many times as a boy and said, Son, two wrongs don't make a right. He was telling me just because somebody else did something wrong never gave me the right or never gave me the responsibility or the privilege or the authority to do something wrong to correct their wrong.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Let me give you just a plain example. I see Fred, and he goes over to John, and he steals John's iPhone. And I say, that's wrong. He stole his iPhone. So I'm going to go over there and steal it back and give it back to John.
No.
No. I am not... You know, I can see your wheels turning in your head, you know, confronting him. Hey, that's his phone. You give it to him. I'm going to give it back. That's a different situation. But I go in and I break into his house in the middle of the night and crack open his safe and get it out and run out the door. No, huh? Mm-hmm. Two wrongs don't ever make a right. It doesn't matter how wrong the other person is. And so we see that in America with the rampant crime that we have in America and the drug use and the things that are going on there. And it's interesting. There is a probation officer that came and spoke to the Rock Church in Sacramento, California last month. And he's one God apostolic, trying to do a very, very difficult job and helping people. And he's talking about all of the problems there in the Sacramento. And he's talking about, and he said, what we really see, though, is crime with brother against brother.
True.
We don't have this problem, and many times you get mixed up. You see somebody else commit a crime, and you say, I got to keep my mouth shut, I got to stand aside, because if I say something, they're going to come after me. And he said, that's not the way it is. They expect you to say something. They expect you to point it out, and that's what they expect. But they are in a war and a fight with each other because, hey, when somebody steals your dope, you don't call 911. Hey, this guy just stole all my weed, man. You got to come over here and arrest him. So they are at war with each other. They're fighting each other. So we see a lot of violence. We see a lot of crimes. And we see a lot of abuses that are going forth. And yes, there are innocent people that get caught sometimes in the middle of all of that. But primarily, they are warring against each other. They are fighting with each other. But just because someone is done something wrong, we do not have a system where that our police department becomes judge, jury, and executioner. That is not justice. That they don't have the right to make up the law as they go. And we're living... I tell you, in America, if God doesn't intervene, we will become a police state where that the police makes their own laws and their own rules, and whatever they say, that they will enforce with force and ultimately death. You say, well, you know, we live in good old Oklahoma. Yes, we do. Thank God for it. We don't have the big problems that they have in these big cities, and we don't see these situations, but we are still in the battle. We're still in the struggle. Last week, there was a man that the highway patrol shot and killed right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The whole thing started out because his truck was stuck in the ditch and there was water in the ditch. And they told him that he couldn't get his truck out. And as a result of it was all done, they saved him from drowning by shooting and killing him. We will see these situations that are around us. And it's not because these people are great, big, terrible sinners that they have these things happen to them. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying all of us will find ourselves in this situation if we don't repent. When we hear the word of God, we've got to respond to the word of God. That's our safety. That's our help. That's our blessing, is that when we hear the word of God, we allow the word of God to change our attitude and to change our action, and that we are willing to respond and say, I want to do whatever I can to get closer to God, to draw nigh to Him. I want to find the path that works. I want to go down and do the things that are there in the kingdom of God, because within that I will be blessed. There is a recipe in living for God. Come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Amen. There is the recipe. There is the call for separation from this world. We're in this world, but we're not a part of this world. One scripture phrases it this way. It says that we are ambassadors for Christ. Yep. We are aliens here. We are not of this world. We are of a different kingdom. We are of a different mindset. Amen. We are living in a kingdom full of lust. Yep. We're living in a kingdom full of greed and full of rebellion and deceit. Yep. In America tonight, people are struggling with their identity. They're struggling whether or not I'm a man or whether I'm a woman. Oh. I want to tell you tonight, God created us, and when He did it perfect.
Amen. Right. Yes, that's right. True.
There is no reason to struggle with something when you have your confidence in God. The reason that they're struggling with it is because they're being tormented by these devils.
Amen.
And we get to that, this point of this place with this lady. For 18 years, the demons of hell had her under bondage, and it affected her physically and emotionally.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
The truth.
So, Jesus arrives on the scene and proclaims victory over her because within her heart, she wanted to change.
Amen.
We look at people and we see them as they are tonight. But we don't see their heart.
Amen.
That's right.
May we have a sensitive, discerning spirit within us that we can look at people and we can realize that if they were given an opportunity, they would change.
Amen.
If they could really feel God's love in their heart and soul, they really knew that somebody loved them, somebody cared for them, and that somebody would be there and help them, they would change.
Amen.
There are those that are looking for a handout tonight. And you're really not going to help them.
Nope.
But there are those that are looking for a hand up.
Yep.
And those are the ones that you'll be able to help.
Amen.
Those are the ones that want out of the miry clay.
Amen.
They want out of the poverty. They want out of the drugs. They want out of the prostitution. They want out of the pornography. They want out of the lust.
Yep.
They want out of the idol worship of this world. They want out of the depression. They want out of the addiction to the alcohol. They want out of the life that they're living.
Amen.
And God wants to reach down and to touch them.
Amen.
And then in verse 6, he throws a monkey into the whole wrench here. He begins to talk to the people about a fig tree that is planted in a vineyard. A vineyard is a place where it is conducive for fig trees to grow. It is a great environment. Now, if he said there was a fig tree that was planted down in the sewer pond, you might say, well, I can understand why that tree is not bearing any fruit. It's kind of hard to be productive down in the sewer pond.
Yep.
But this fig tree was in the vineyard. This fig tree was in the place where that around it were other fig trees that were bearing fruit. Around it were the kind of environment that was needed to produce fruit. It was the right temperature and it was the right moisture was around. Everything was there, but yet it did not bear fruit. And this is an instruction to the ministry tonight and a challenge to all of us as children of God. That God has a purpose in our life. And there may be seasons in our life that we are not living up to our fullest potential because we're bogged down by other things that are around us. And it may be that it's the dormant season, but there comes a time and a place that God looks at people and he says, hey, it's time for you to be productive. It's time for you to step up. And God will reach out and God will talk to the ministry and God will say, hey, it's time to pluck them up and send them on out. Put them into the trash bin. But here was a true husbandman. Here was a true person that loved and had a burden for people. And he said, give me another year with it. Give me another year to give it love, special love and care. Give it special fertilizer, special attention. And he said, then if it don't bear fruit, God, you cut it off. You take care of the situation that is there. I want you to go with me tonight to the book of Jude. I've got tonight some caviar for you. The book of Jude. We will start with verse number 10. Jude, verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. I want to tell you tonight, I have enough problems dealing with the things that I know how to deal with. Why in the world do I want to stick my nose into something that's none of my business, number one? Number two, I can do nothing about it. Number three, I do not understand.
It's the truth. Preach it.
Amen. I want to tell you tonight, I don't think anybody around here understands what it means to be 80 years old.
No.
Because none of us have ever been 80 years old. And tonight. I truly don't understand all of the pressures of someone being 13. I was 13 at one time. I can't tell you at this moment anything that happened when I was 13, though. See, that's the problem. Now, 16, I can tell you about being 16. That was quite a year.
That's the truth. Yep, come on. Preach it.
So, we sometimes have to realize that even though we had parallel experiences, they can still be in a different universe. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not going in any of that garbage, brother. Just don't
well, you're going to be happier for it.
And he said, so they speak evil of those things that they know not. There's some things that I do know tonight. I know that you've got to be baptized in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I know you've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and when you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak in other tongues.
Amen.
In order to get on the train and to get you to heaven. And I know what God has called me to do, what God has called me to preach, and I know what the elders have gone before me.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are people that have fallen by the way, and I don't believe I should kick somebody just because they're down or just because they're out.
Yep, that's the truth. Amen.
The Samaritan found the man on the road, and he was beaten and left for dead. And he didn't look at him and say, well, you deserve that, you hypocrite, you. He bound up his wounds and tried to get him to a place that could help him.
Amen.
The Samaritan was wise enough to realize he couldn't help everybody.
Amen.
There's going to be some people in this world that I'm not going to be able to help. There's going to be some people in this world that this church will not be able to help, but there will be somebody else
Amen.
That can help them.
Amen. Preach it.
Amen. May God give us the wisdom.
Amen.
Now, I'm stubborn enough, and I got enough of that Missouri mule blood in me that I won't give up. I'll help somebody just as long as they will let me.
Amen.
Amen.
Truth. Amen.
I will not give up. I'm not telling you tonight that I'm going to just look at somebody. Well, maybe I can help them. If I can, I will. If I can't, well, who's no big deal. I'm going to help that person. I believe that's what God has called me to do. But I am enough into the Word of God to realize that if they will no longer let me help and they'll let somebody else help them, then
the
I'm not going to kick them all down. I'm going to let God work in their life any way He can.
Amen.
Because eternity is forever.
Amen.
And judgment day is final.
Amen. True.
But what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things, they corrupt themselves. Most people are their own worst enemy.
Amen.
They really are.
That's the truth.
Verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. I could preach all night right there on that verse right there, but we're headed to verse 12. For they are spots in your feast of charity. The whole thing that brought this verse to life to me is that there is this language out there called Spanish. And they have translated the Bible into Spanish, okay? It's a great and wonderful thing. And when you take the Spanish translation and you have these Spanish-speaking guys, then bring that Spanish version back over to English, there's some interesting things you're going to find there. You look at that, and they are spots in your feast of charity. Just real quick, what are they talking about in spots here? What you get when you get down to the root word there on the Greek of spots, it is referring to barriers or unforeseen tragedies, unforeseen dangers. For example, the Titanic hit that iceberg. Most of the iceberg was underneath the waterline. They didn't think it was that big of a danger. So these people when you look at them, you don't realize at first the great danger that they are. But they are dangers. Here you are feasting on God's love, and they're bringing hate to the party.
Yep.
Amen. Charity is love, feast of love. We don't need any hate brought to the party. I realize there's some things that God hates. But nowhere in the Word of God do I ever find where God hates people. God loves people. It's sin that He hates. And we can hate the sin and still love the people. And may we never find ourselves in the place and the point where that because we have been hurt by people that were sinners, that we have certain sins that will make us automatically hate people. Now I know it makes me sick when I see certain perversions in the world. It makes me want to throw up. And I don't want to ever lose that. I don't want to be desensitized to sodomites. I don't want to ever lose that. I want to always have that revulsion in my heart and my soul and in my guts. But they need Jesus. And God still loves the people. So, it says, and when they feast with you. In other words, these people are proclaiming to be like you. They're proclaiming that I am serving your God. I am serving your Jesus Christ. It says, feeding themselves without fear. Now this word feeding here, when it was translated into the Spanish, was a Spanish word that was never ever used for feeding humans. This is a Spanish word that is used for feeding the livestock. And when you go to the Greek and you begin to look at this word, it is tied in and it's brought into the fact of the word pasture. So you could read this to say, when they feast with you, they're pasturing their own selves without fear. He said they become then clouds without water, carried about of every wind, trees whose fruit withers, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root, waging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shape, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. I know it was a famous song one time. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. But it was Jesus Christ that established the church on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
In the book of Ephesians, Paul wrote to the church of Ephesians, he had the revelation, he said, these are gifts from God.
Right.
The pastor, the teachers, the prophets,
Amen.
The evangelists. He said, these are gifts from God.
Amen.
What for? For the completion of the church.
That's right. Yes.
Without it, the church will not be complete. But there is a spirit going around this world. There is a spirit that is out there telling people that I can have my own church. I can have my own thing going. I don't need to be a part of the body of Christ. It's all right.
Amen. Come on.
My Uncle Woody looked at my dad one time and said, I want you to know God can live. God can have me and I can live for God right here. I can have church and live for God right down there and not holler. I don't need to go to church.
Come on.
My dad looked back at Woody and he said, well, maybe you could, but let me ask you this. How many people are doing it?
Yes, sir. That's the truth.
There wasn't nobody living for God down there and not holler. And my uncle knew he wasn't living for God either. He was trying to find an excuse so he didn't have to be under subjection to the man of God in his life and live for God.
Right. Yes, sir.
So as I look at the Word of God here and I see the dangers it is and the spirits that will come by, their fruit withers. It's a terrible thing to have your fruit die on the vine.
Yep, that's true.
Terrible, terrible situation. But you see, it started out that somewhere they didn't want to have that feast of charity and that feast of love. Somewhere within them was some pride and arrogance and bitterness.
Amen.
They wasn't able to reach out to people and love them. And the next thing, the next place that they found them, once that they determined that, hey, I don't want to be around hypocrites.
Yep.
You better move out of your house.
Yep.
I had a piano salesman one time that looked at me and said, man, I heard from the insurance company today that 85% of the people have a wreck within 10 miles of their house. He said, man, I've got to move. You just take the problem with you.
Truth, amen.
The love of God has to be there.
Amen.
That we love people. Oh yeah, I hate even the garments that are spotted by sin.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
But somewhere within all of that, there has to be God's mercy and God's grace. That is a minister. But without God's mercy and without God's grace, people become scared, they become bitter, and they become rebellious.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Reach it.
Because if you get to the point in your place that I can never be good enough to be accepted by the church, I can never live good enough to do everything right, then suddenly there becomes the attitude of why even try? Amen. I realize, and the scripture tells me, that a righteous man may fall 7 times.
Yep.
But he gets up every
Amen.
Time.
Amen.
And I need somebody when I fall. I need somebody when I'm in the battle. I need somebody when the storm is blowing in my neighborhood.
Yep.
I need somebody that when the water is rushing through my front door, that will come by and tell me, I'm still your friend.
Amen.
And I will be here with you until the sun shines again.
Amen.
The sun does shine again. We saw a lot of water.
Amen.
We saw a lot of water. But today, there is nobody in this house that's not convinced that the sun is shining again. It got the 93 degrees out there. The sun came back. Hallelujah. And if we can hold on, if we can hold on, if we can grab a hold of it and hold on with faith in our heart, believe until the sun can shine again, we can do repair the damage. We can change the things that are done wrong. But oh my God, I don't want to have anybody's blood on my hands. I don't want to stand before God and God say, why in the world did you kick them when they were down? Why is it that you refused to reach out and offer them any hope? If somebody would have just given them another chance.
Come on.
They wanted to do what is right. They wanted to change. They wanted to feel God's presence one more time.
Yeah.
Tonight I think about King David as a young man going into the palace, and there was Saul with all his hatred and all of his bitterness and all of the evil spirits that had come from God even. And he would play his harp in order to soothe King Saul and give him a little peace. He wanted King Saul to feel the presence of God one more time. I don't care how big a hypocrite they are. I don't care how much they have mocked God and how much they've turned from God. If they'll come and sit down on the pew, amen, and allow God to touch them, I want God to deal with them one more time. I want God to get a hold of their heart one more time. I want them to feel the presence of God one more time. I want them to know the goodness of God one more time. I want them to know that there's somebody living for God at Peace Tabernacle. There's somebody that believes the truth. There's somebody that believes in holiness. There's There's somebody that believes in prayer. There's somebody that believes in raising their children right. There's somebody dressing right. Somebody talking right. Somebody that's shunning the appearance of evil. Because there's coming a day and coming a time, and there will be no more hope. Judgment day is final. Verse 15, Luke 13, Jesus looked at him and says, "Thou hypocrite." Here they were. They were accusing Jesus of breaking the Sabbath. And he had broke the traditions of men. But he didn't break the law. He didn't sin against God. Be loosed from this bond.
Yes, sir.
Be loosed from this bond. Our world tonight is bound up. They're bound up in tradition. They're bound up in perversion. They're bound up in fear. They're bound up in hopelessness. They're bound up in their idol worship. They're bound up by the friends that are around them. They're bound by their environment. Jesus talked about it. Paul talked about it. How that evil lifestyles corrupt the good manners, the good actions, the good conscience that we have. God put a conscience in all of us. Men have seared their conscience. They've buried their conscience. They've driven it down. And tonight, may God allow our conscience to become more sensitive within us.
Amen.
We would be vessel and a tool to reach out to help people.
Amen.
And realize, no, it's not some great evil that they've done. They found themselves in this point and they found themselves in this place. It is because of evil that is in our world today. Lots of evil running rampant and lots of bad people doing bad things. But God wants us to have mercy. And to reach out. I was talking with Brother Andrew before church tonight. We're talking about how God says that when you do this unto the one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. I want to find the good ground tonight.
Amen.
I realize I only have so many resources.
Yep. Amen.
I've only got 24 hours in my day. I only have so many pennies in my bank account. I've only have so many people that I will be able to meet and interact with this week. Yes, I need to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, that God would lead and guide me. Talked about it before, that my father was born in the 30s, came through the Great Depression, and just something about that generation, they didn't waste anything. He was someone that was very frugal with the money that he had. And when I was a kid growing up, I remember gasoline, 50 cents a gallon. A lot cheaper than it is now. My father went out and bought a Volkswagen Beetle, Volkswagen Bug, whatever you want to call it, because it got better gas mileage in his Oldsmobile. We had the Oldsmobile in case we needed to go to a fellowship meeting or camp meeting or something. We had to have a dependable car. This little Volkswagen Bug he had was old and burned oil, and he had to have the tappets done on it about every 6 months in order to keep it running. But it got twice as many miles for the gallon of gas. So he was a frugal person. One day he was driving down 4th Street, and he realized in the back of his mind he needed some gasoline, and there was a gas station there, and it was a full-service gas station. For most of you in here, there's some of us old-timers like me and Brother Lee, we know what a full-service gas station was. It was a wonderful thing. You pulled up to a full-service gas station. You know, they washed your windows for you. They popped the hood, they checked your oil, they checked the air in the tire, they checked the water in your windshield wiper for you. They pumped the gas for you, and they come out to your window and took your money and gave you your change right there at your car. It was a wonderful thing. But you see, you had to pay 2 cents more a gallon. Back then, even the convenience stores had come in, and the self-serve gas stations were there. And at this full-service gas station, you had to pay 2 cents more a gallon. And my dad wasn't going to pay 2 cents more a gallon. He'd get out and pump that gas himself. Check his own. He used to work at a service station. He'd check his oil and his tire and his airs and push the car, whatever he had to do. But he was going down through there, and God laid it on his heart. And he stopped that day and got gas at this station. And the old boy come out, and it wasn't long before Dad was telling him about Jesus. He had 4 or 5 kids at home, and he just kept following the leading of the Holy Ghost. He went back, and, man, you look terrible. Yeah, I just got out of jail this morning. He was really having a bad time. But God dealt on his heart and his soul. And Mickey was out coon hunting one night. And Donnie, his buddy, was there, and they were sitting around the fire and waiting for the dogs to strike a trail. And they were talking. And Donnie looked over at Mickey and said, "Man, won't you go to church with me tomorrow morning? Man, we got a great church right down here, and once you go." Well, Mickey had one of them, what he thought was a bright idea. He looked back to Donnie, you know, in his good old coon hunting style, and said, "Well, I'll go to church with you tomorrow morning if you'll go to church with me tomorrow night." He thought that would shut Donnie up. Because Donnie was a dedicated churchgoer, and he didn't think Donnie would miss his church service just to get him to come. Well, he didn't know Donnie quite as well as he thought he did. Because Donnie said, "Well, sure, I'll go to church with you tomorrow night." Suddenly, Mickey needed a church. He hadn't been to church in 30 years. He needed a church. So who do you think he picked out for a church? The only guy that ever come by and told him about Jesus. He knew where the church was. God had used him to help build that church. Here he was, come by. And anyway, he had never come to a service. There we were that night. There were 17 people. And we looked up, and there was like 20-something people walked through the door and sat down and filled up all the back rows of the church. We didn't know if the hillbilly mafia had attacked or what. You know, God reached down and got a hold of Donnie's heart that night. He was a good AOG boy. Matter of fact, he was a lay minister. Preached in their churches. He got the revelation of the baptism in Jesus' name. Got baptized in Jesus' name. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. His wife got baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. His wife's family, she had four brothers and one sister. They got baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost before that was over. That was almost a 40-something soul revival that hit that church within 6 months. Because somebody allowed the Holy Ghost to lead them and guide them. No, Mickey never made it. but he was the tool and the vessel that God used. Because somebody was sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Let's stand tonight. I want you to be looking out. I want you to be sensitive this week. God, allow me to plant some seed on some good ground. I want to tell you, if you don't know where the good ground is, you may have to do some looking this week.
Amen.
But God wants you to go, and He wants you to bring forth fruit.
Amen.
And that your fruit should remain. Let's reach out to Him in prayer. Dear God, you see each and every one of us tonight, oh God. Lord, we want to find the good ground, oh God. We want to find, Lord, honest hearts and souls. God, we want to be a witness. We want to be a tool to bring truth, oh God. We want to be a tool, God, to bring your love and your mercy into the world. So many people out there, oh God, hallelujah, they're walking in darkness and gross darkness.